Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you would speak to us today, that you would help us as we think about going and telling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when you hear the word mission, what do you think? Maybe you might think about Mission Impossible. Those movies starring Tom Cruise over the past 30 or so years and the various actors and filmmakers that have been involved, they've been wowing film fans, haven't they? With increasingly exciting and death-defying stunts. And of course, some of us here may remember the original TV series and the famous Lalo Schifrin theme tune. Key, of course, in the Mission Impossible films and TV show is the delivery of the mission, the sort of formula of the episode and the films. You know how it goes. This is your mission, if you choose to accept it. And then at the end of the mission statement, you hear the following. This tape will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Some of us, though, maybe who are more interested in politics than action movies or TV programs, might remember from last year's general election the five missions of the current government. Don't worry, I'm not going to test you to see if you can remember them. I had to look them up myself online. I did remember that there was five, but I had to remind myself of what they related to. No doubt you can look them up later on in your own time to freshen your memory. And those five missions are the sort of things that are very common, I think, in the world of business and of organizations like charities and things like that, where an organization or a leadership team wants to quantify, clarify what they're really all about and what they want to do. Now, of course, we could think about the word mission in a lot of different ways, couldn't we? But if we were just to go into those two examples, what might we learn? Well, we could learn the mission must be clear, there must be focus, and that there must be an objective. And those key elements of focus, clarity, and an objective are what we should want as Christians when we talk about mission. We should want clarity, not confusion. If we're confused about mission, we'll not know what to do. We should want focus. We should all know what to do. And we should understand our objective, what our aim is, what we're wanting to do. And as a church, we're going to be taking part in a nationwide month of mission next year in March 2026. It's called Passion for Life. Maybe you've heard of it before. It happens every sort of 4 to 6 years, and it's been happening over the last 15 to 20 years. And it's a national movement across the United Kingdom, across different sorts of churches, large and small, from different sorts of backgrounds and contexts, and from different traditions, independent, Church of England, Presbyterians, a whole gamut of different types of churches, all pulling together to see Jesus made known in our nation. And we'll be thinking about more about that in the coming months and the exciting opportunities it brings. But of course, we should want to get mission right all of the time, not once every 4 to 6 years when a big event comes along. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this week and next. And of course, we could tackle this in a number of different ways. But over these next 2 weeks, we're going to think about the question, how do we share the good news? How do we share that good news of Jesus? And we're going to answer it in two ways. Go and tell and come and see. Go and tell, come and see. And this week we're going to tackle our first answer. Go and tell. And this is the clear and obvious picture, isn't it, from the New Testament and from the history of the church over the last 2,000 years, that Christians have gone to other people and told them about Jesus. But sadly, Christians haven't always thought so. There have been times when that has not been a popular opinion. For example, William Carey, who lived from 1761 to 1834, a Baptist pastor, sometimes referred to as the father of modern missions, he went to India to tell people about Jesus. He faced much opposition to the establishing of a missionary society. People didn't like it. Another missionary in the 19th century, a man called John Peyton from Glasgow, who went to a bunch of islands in the Pacific called the New Hebrides, where they were known to be cannibals in those islands. He was warned off by doing it by somebody who said to him, "They'll eat you if you go there." Which he replied to that man something like, "Well, when you die and are buried, you're going to be eaten by worms. So we're both going to be eaten in one way or another." So we can say, can't we, that the call to go and tell has not always been agreed upon. So over the next few minutes, we're going to think over the basics of go and tell. And we're going to do it by asking and answering these five questions. Now, some of us here might know some of these things quite well, but maybe this will be new to some of us here. But hopefully, it will be an encouragement to all of us to play our part in going and telling the good news of Jesus. So the first question we're going to look at is, who do we go to? Who do we go to? Now, I wonder if you've ever faced restrictions in your life. I wanted at school to learn how to play a musical instrument. There were a variety of options. There was the option to play violin, to play clarinet, and to play flute. And I was keen to do anything I could do. But every time I put myself forward to play an instrument, I wasn't allowed to get the lessons because I failed the test that was set. I was deemed unmusical, which of course you may have thought as I played my guitar earlier on. Something similar used to apply to police officers. I don't think it applies anymore. There used to be a minimum height requirement if you wanted to be a police officer. There also used to be an eyesight requirement. People with these sorts of things weren't allowed. You had 20/20 vision, and you had to be tall-ish to be a policeman. The short-sighted and the short were not required in His Majesty's constabulary. And many of us will know, won't we, sadly, of restrictions that in the past discriminated against people because of their ethnicity or their religious background. Sadly, in some countries, such restrictions are still in place, in practice or in law. But should that sort of thing apply to the message of Jesus? Who should we go to? People just like us? Or should we only speak to those we deem worth telling? Well, Jesus is really clear as he speaks to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19. He says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The phrase there to focus on is all nations. Now, I think we can take that to mean that all people everywhere are fair game. We are to go to all people. So we go to the ends of the earth, hence we have cross-cultural mission work, and we go to the end of our street, which is what most of us will do, to tell other people about Jesus. If you were to read through the book of Acts, you'd find that this was a key issue. Was the gospel of Jesus for everybody? Some people thought it wasn't. There was a bit of discussion, but it was decided that indeed it was for all sorts of people. And this means that we should never discriminate with who we go to with the message of Jesus. We should take every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with anyone we come into contact with. We shouldn't think that certain people are more likely to believe than others, and therefore focus our attention on them. Rather, all people are to be reached. I helped at a university mission week about 20 years ago, and the lead mission speaker, in trying to encourage us to reach all the students on campus, said, "Go for the worst. Go for all, including the least likely," he was saying. And in that context, it was the drunk fresher propping up the student union bar. It was the person who was aggressively opposed to the gospel of Jesus. Because God can do wonderful things. Go to all people. So we're to go to all people. And if we go to all people, then it's a good question to then ask, when do we go? When do we go? Now, if I were to ask you, now some people here might not know the answer to this, when is a good time to hang out the washing? You would hopefully give me a fairly standard answer. When it is dry, when it's warm, and when it's windy. Key things if you want to dry clothes outside. Warm, dry, and windy. You would not hopefully say to me that it is ideal to put your clothes out when it is raining and it is cold, because they would not dry. They wouldn't dry. And of course, in a number of other pursuits in life, we know that this is the case, that there are optimal conditions for doing particular tasks. I came to know that when I was a teenager. I'd gone to play golf. This is a common experience in Scotland, but I had to give up halfway. Well, I think it was less than halfway around the course. I might have been the third, fourth, or fifth hole before I completed my round, because it was absolutely pelting it down. The rain was coming in sideways. It was windy. It was blowy. I was soaked through. It was not an optimal day for golf. And we could easily think that about telling other people about Jesus, that there must be optimal conditions. People must be interested. They must be well disposed to Christians in general. The culture must be friendly. It must be easy and safe to share the good news of Jesus. And that sort of thinking can be really tempting, can't it? But if we followed that way of thinking, the message of Jesus would most likely have never come to us in this country. And it would not be going to all the places around the world that it's currently going to. In fact, from what we see in the book of Acts, intense opposition is just the time to tell other people about Jesus. We see that in Acts chapter 8. There was a great persecution, and the church is scattered throughout the neighboring regions. And would you think that this is the right time to do some good outreach? Would you think, aha, this is the key opportunity for mission? No, I don't think you would. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I would have done either. But what do the early Christians do? Look at 8, verse 4. Chapter 8, verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. It's amazing, isn't it? There is clearly no such thing as a bad weather day when it comes to mission, to getting the message of Jesus out. Why? Because it's good news. It needs to go out, rain or shine. It's the best news. It needs to get out. So for us, we can take from this that getting the message of Jesus out to our neighbors, our family, our friends, is not just for when it's easy, when we're feeling up for it, when we're popular with our friends, when our boss loves us. No, getting the message of Jesus out to others is to happen when it's easy and when it's hard. It's to happen when the conditions seem right to us, and it's to happen when the conditions couldn't be worse. But as we go, when it's easy or hard, what is our aim? And that's the next question. What is our aim? What do we want to achieve when we are going and telling? Well, simply put, we want people to become followers of Jesus. That's the objective. That's the aim. And that's what the word disciple means in Matthew chapter 28. The call is to go and make disciples, to make people who follow, trust, and listen to and obey King Jesus. Now, sometimes the word disciple or discipleship can be quite confusing. If you've been around Christian circles for a while, you've probably heard it used in a lot of different ways, and it can be quite confusing. But I think what we should mean by it is that the aim of going and telling is not to get people to attend church. It's not for people to give financially to the church. That's not why we go. It's not for people to see the church as a place of great moral teaching. It's not that people have an experience of some sort or another and then go back to normal life. It's not getting people to pray a prayer or to fill out a card or a form. Rather, it's for those we seek to reach to become what we are. People who love, trust, listen to, and follow our great Savior, King Jesus. So that should commit us in our going and telling to keep going once someone comes to faith in Jesus, to help them grow in their knowledge of Jesus and what it means to follow him today. So we're to teach. And that takes us to our next question. What are we doing in mission? What brings people to Jesus and what grows them? The question is, what do we do? Now, if you're aware of the history of Christian mission, you may well know that Christians have got involved in a whole bunch of good things as they've gone to tell. Maybe if you've read books, you might have read about how some people went as teachers. Eric Liddell, the famous Scottish athlete, when he was out in the mission field in China, was a teacher. Other people have gone as doctors. We think of David Livingstone was a doctor. That was part of what he did as a missionary. Some have been nurses. Some have done all sorts of other good things. But the key factor in all true mission work, whether we're far away or we're here, is that it is going and telling. As missionaries go to other places, or as we go to our friends and neighbors to go and tell the good news, we go to proclaim the glad tidings of King Jesus. We go to proclaim the word. And that proclamation declares the good news that in and through Jesus Christ, we can find forgiveness and the promise of eternal life if we trust him. And that declaration also points us to how King Jesus wants all his followers to follow him and live for him today. So if we go to share, we must go with the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We go to tell something, and that telling is the word. And that word holds out good news and calls us to turn from sin and to trust and obey Jesus. And that's something that we need to be really, really clear about. We can do all sorts of good things as Christians. And we should do all sorts of good things. We're called to love our neighbor. We should seek to love our neighbors as Christ has loved us. But the great commandment to love others must go hand in hand with the great commission to tell others the wonderful good news of the love that we've come to know in Jesus Christ. There can be no mission if there is no telling. We cannot be engaging in mission of taking the good news of Jesus to other people if our priority is not to tell people about Jesus from his word. If our priority is not to call people to trust and obey the true King, if anything else is our priority, and if we abandon telling others, whether in a far-flung place or here in our part of the world, then we are not doing what we are called to do. And that takes us to our final question. Who is to do this? Who is to do this? Now, so far, you might have been nodding along. You might have been thinking, yes, telling about Jesus is really important. It needs to be done. But then you might also say, but not by me. It's the work of the gifted. It's the work of the evangelist. It is the work of the pastor. It's not my work. Maybe you might never say that, but that is in effect how you act. You always assume it's someone else's job. But friends, in just the two passages we've seen today, that doesn't seem to be the case. In Matthew 28, the disciples are given the commission to go and make disciples. But it can't just apply to them, can it? Back then, some people have thought that. Rather, it's given to them as representatives of God's people, the church. And if we're part of the church, we're called to play our part in telling others about Jesus. That's what we saw in Acts chapter 8. The church scattered and proclaimed the word. They told people about Jesus. And so it should be the same today. We're all called to play our part in getting the message of Jesus out to other people. Some of us will have different gifts and strengths, but we can all tell something of how wonderful Jesus is to other people. We can all, as we are able, point others to the one we follow and the one we love. The vast majority of us are not called to far-flung places with the gospel, but we're all placed in the unique settings in which we have been placed. So we are all to go, not far away, but to our work colleagues, to our neighbors, to our classmates at school, college, and uni, to our friends, to our family. And we're to point them, as we are able and as we have opportunity, to the one we trust in and the one we hope in. Maybe you find that really difficult. Maybe you don't know what to say. Well, we want as a church to help you to be able to speak the good news of Jesus to other people. So if you need help, please do come and speak to me. We can put some training events on. We can run some sessions in Trinity training on Sunday mornings. We want to help you. We can chat to you. We can recommend resources to look at. Please do speak to me. We want to equip you so that you are able to go and share the good news with others. So friends, we're called to go and tell. We're called to go to all. We're called to go at all times. We're called to go and make followers of Jesus. We're called to go and proclaim God's word. And we are all called to play our part in this task. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help each of us to play our part in going and telling the good news of Jesus to other people. Help us, we pray. We often find it hard. I know I find it hard. But help us, Heavenly Father, to be brave, to be bold, and to be clear, and to share the good news of Jesus with others. In his name we pray. Amen.